Let's just pray as we come to God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Father, what a joy it has been to witness the baptisms that have taken place. Father, we thank you for Elka and Bernd and Riley. And Father, we just pray now as we come to your word, Father, that you'll be at work in our hearts and mind. Father, teach us by your Holy Spirit this morning. Give us a fresh understanding. And Father, we might leave this place this morning encouraged in heart and being refreshed by your Spirit this morning. So Father, teach us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you went to almost any church for the first time, it's most likely that you wouldn't be there very long before you heard someone use the word grace. Now, we've already heard it this morning. Michelle read our Bible reading this morning. And Paul speaks to the Ephesians in saying, "For it is by grace." And then the verse goes on to say that we've been saved by God's grace through our faith. And at the end of the verse, we read that it is a gift of God. And that's what God's grace is. It is a gift. It is unmerited favor that he gives to us. God's grace is something that we don't deserve. Not one of us here deserves it. But yet God shows his grace to us because of his great love, because of his mercy towards us. Now, this morning we're going to look at the passage from the book of Acts that Michelle read out earlier. And if you look at that passage of Philip and the Ethiopian official, the whole passage is a display of God's grace from beginning until its end. Because we see that Philip was in the right place at the right time to teach the right message. And we see that the Ethiopian official was at the right place at the right time to receive the right message. And as we look throughout that whole passage then, we see that God led the right person to the right road to meet the right Ethiopian at the right time so that he might receive the right message, so that that man might be saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole encounter between the Ethiopian and Philip is a display of the wonder of God's grace. Our God is a God who loves to give. So if you look with me now at verse 26, and it reads, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go to the south road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" Now I want you to notice who speaks to Philip here. God sends an angel messenger to give him a message. Now Philip had just been part of a successful missionary journey into Samaria, and the work was still ongoing. God sent him the message. God told Philip, "Go." And he was to go to the desert road. Now, that desert road ran from Jerusalem through the ruined ancient city of Gaza, which was a Philistine city. And from there, it went down to Egypt. Now, remember, Philip was on a successful missionary journey, and he was to go to a desert road that was now little used. And the time that he was most likely to be there was the middle of the day. It was the hottest part of the day. And in that day and age, it was a time when there was be few people traveling. And all things considered then, it was really a strange and unusual command. But we read that Philip got up and he went. Now as Philip gets to that desert road, he starts to walk along it. And it's not long before the Ethiopian official comes along in his horse-drawn carriage, or it might have been a chariot. But this man isn't just anybody. He was an important official. He was the man in charge of the entire treasury of the Queen of Ethiopia. Now, this important man was returning home again after having been to Jerusalem. Why had he gone to Jerusalem? He'd gone to Jerusalem because he'd come to believe in the God of the Jews. And that's what we read in our passage. He'd gone there to worship God. He'd gone to the temple. But now he was leaving. And you know what? He was leaving a disappointed man. He was leaving a disappointed man. And you might wonder why I was say that this morning, because it's not written in the passage there. But this is the reason. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And despite his important position of who he is and the wealth he had, to the Jews, he was still a Gentile. And as such, he wouldn't have been allowed to go into the temple grounds. The nearest he would have been able to go was the court of the Gentiles. He wouldn't have been allowed to partake in their ceremonies fully. He wouldn't even have been allowed to convert to Judaism. The best he could hope to achieve was the status of a God-fearer. Now, that would be a little bit like me saying, you can give financially to the church, and you can go on the mowing roster and mow the church lawn. But when you come to church on a Sunday morning, you can't come inside the building. You have to stay outside and listen from there. So this official was leaving. He was leaving Jerusalem to go back to Ethiopia, and he was leaving a disappointed man. And as he's leaving, though, he's reading. He's sitting in his carriage reading. And if you notice in our passage, he's also reading aloud. And that was a common practice in those days. You didn't read to yourself like we do now. When you read aloud. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah, from Isaiah 53. Now, the fact that he had attained a piece of scripture, that speaks of his wealth and his position. He couldn't convert to Judaism, but yet they were happy to sell him a portion of scripture. Now, as the Ethiopian is reading, Philip is walking nearby, and the Holy Spirit says to Philip, go and stay near that chariot. And so Philip runs up the chariot, and he starts going along beside it, and he listens to what the Ethiopian is reading. But I want you to imagine the scene, though. The Ethiopian, he's an important official. He wouldn't have been alone. He would have been surrounded by servants. And as official of the queen, he most likely had soldiers to guard him. It would have been quite the entourage. And Philip just runs up beside the chariot and begins to listen. But if you think about this just a little bit more, with that in mind, it's a quiet and lonely road in the middle of nowhere. And the stranger runs up to the chariot of an important official. Now, if you ask me, it's a wonder that he wasn't suddenly crashed, tackled to the ground, and run through with a spear or sword. But he wasn't. And so as he runs along beside that chariot, he says to the Ethiopian, do you understand what you're reading? Then the Ethiopian answers him, how can I understand unless someone explains it to me? Now remember the reason why Philip was there. He was only on that road because the angel of the Lord told him to go to the desert road. And Philip had only run up to that chariot because the Holy Spirit had told him to run up beside it and stay there. And Philip listened to the leading of God through was said to him. Do you see how God was in control of this situation? All that was happening, God was directing it. So after listening to what the Ethiopian was saying, Philip could understand the words. He knew the passage of Scripture from which he was speaking. That's why he asked, do you understand them? Because he already knew. And the Ethiopian says, I can't. I need them to be explained to me. Both men were in the right place at the right time. Philip was in the right place to teach the message of God's grace. And the Ethiopian, who was seeking after God, but he had found no answers in Jerusalem, was in the right place to hear and receive the message of God's grace. God's grace, God's sovereignty, God's love and mercy, and God's power overruling all that is taking place in our passage this morning. The official from Ethiopia had taken the long journey to seek after God, and he was leaving disappointed. And on top of this, he couldn't understand what he was reading. Now remember, he was an important official. He would have been a highly educated man. And on top of that, he would have been a highly intelligent man. But he couldn't understand what he was reading. This is something I want you to take notice of this morning. God's word can only be truly understood by spiritual discernment. And Paul writes to the Corinthians that the man without the Spirit of God cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. God needed to speak to his heart. He needed that word explained to him. The Ethiopian couldn't understand what he's reading, but he was seeking, and he was seeking after God. Now, Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, everyone who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. The Lord sent Philip to this man who was seeking after God, so that he might understand. So that Philip, then getting with that passage of Scripture from Isaiah 53, he begins to explain what they meant to him. He explained that Jesus was led like a sheep to the slaughter because Jesus came to bear our sins. And he died the death that we deserve. And he did that in our place. And Jesus was silent before his accusers like sheep before their shearer. Because while he was personally completely innocent, he was taking our place. And before God's throne, Jesus was officially guilty because of our sin, because of my sin, because of your sin. And having been pronounced guilty, Jesus was then hung on a cross to die. The Son of God, through whom all things were created, whether on heaven or on earth, humbled himself to die in complete humiliation. He was beaten and whipped and mocked and scorned and ridiculed. Jesus was personally deprived of justice so that through his death, our legal debt before God might be paid. Our debt was paid by Jesus so that we might be pronounced not guilty before the courtroom of God. Now, Philip continued to speak from this passage of Isaiah, and I believe that he would have, because that was the passage of Scripture that the Ethiopian had. He eventually would have come to verse 11. And verse 11 says in Isaiah 53, after the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. After speaking about his death, Philip went on to speak about how Jesus rose again from the dead. He spoke of his resurrection. Philip revealed to that Ethiopian official the full gospel message of Jesus Christ through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul writes to the Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The message of Jesus Christ, the gospel message, it is a message of power. And it is a message of power because it can save to the uttermost all who put their faith in Jesus. Their debt for sin has been cancelled. And through the shed blood of Jesus, their life is now hid in him. And they share in the resurrection life of Jesus, which is eternal life. And that's what we've had symbolized this morning through baptism. The Ethiopian official was in the right place and at the right time to receive the right message, the message of God's grace, so that he might be set upon the right path. That is the path of repentance, the path of obedience, that he realized he was going the wrong way and he needed to turn around and start going the right way, which is to follow after God. And that path that leads to heaven is a path of joy and peace, and it leads to the kingdom of God. That Ethiopian heard the message of God's grace and he believed it by his faith. And then as they traveled along, they came to a body of water. And I want you to remember, this is the desert road. But yet they came to a body of water at the right place, at the right time. And so the Ethiopian says to Philip, "Here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And so they stopped and they went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. Now, two things happen now. First, that official who had left Jerusalem disappointed, he now rises out of the water and leaves rejoicing, rejoicing in God because he has received the salvation and the life of joy and peace is in Jesus Christ. And secondly, from that moment after the baptism, the Ethiopian saw Philip no more. Because God snatched him away, and Philip suddenly appeared at a completely different place. God brought these men together at the right place, at the right time, so the gospel of God's grace might be proclaimed to the right man according to God's sovereign will and power. Now remember back to our passage in Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:8. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself, but it is the gift of God." And look at everything that happened in our passage today. It is all a display of God's grace. God led everything that happened. God had led those men to that time and place so that Ethiopian could put his faith in God and believe. Grace is a gift from God. It is unmerited favor. God's grace is something, it's something that we don't deserve, but yet God bestows it upon us. Look how he worked to bring that Ethiopian official unto himself. And when someone gives you a gift, that gift is for you. But that gift doesn't become yours until you accept it, until you receive it. God offers us the gift of salvation, the gift of joy and peace and hope that is in Jesus. But we need to accept it. We need to accept it. And we accept it when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We need to believe in who Jesus is, and that he died on the cross for our sins and that he rose again, conquering sin and death, so that our sins might be forgiven and so that we might become partakers in his resurrection life, in his eternal life. The moment we believe in Jesus, the moment we put our faith in him, is if Jesus says to us, "You'll live with me and I will be with you from this day on and forevermore." God's grace is free. But we need to accept it. So let me ask you this morning, will you accept this morning? Will you accept God's grace? Will you accept the gift that God wants for each of us? Now I'm just going to pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you love the world so much that you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to come and die for our sins. Father, we thank you that our sins can be forgiven and that through faith in Jesus, Father, we can share in that resurrection life that is his. That life is that is forevermore. So, Father, as we come now to the end of the service, Father, I pray for each and every one who has come into this place this morning. Father, may your grace be upon each of us. Father, that we'll grow in you, that we'll grow in our understanding, that we'll grow in our faith. And Father, that we will leave here this morning, that we will go in boldness, knowing who you are, and that we would know your joy and peace in our hearts. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.